We're just so grateful that we can gather together like this. And Lord, as your word goes out, even today, that it is sharper than any two-edged sword, that your word does not return void, but that it accomplishes all that you have for it to accomplish. And that all is said and all is done, that the name of Jesus is exalted in this place. All the praise and the honor going to Jesus. And Father, we say thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Yes. Well, we are continuing with James. So we've, you know, as we heard now, this is the eighth time that we've been speaking about James, but which is in a way a series, but within the series we're having a mini-series. So last week we started part one of a mini-series in the big series. And I titled last week's message, Things We Should Know About Wisdom. And this is now part two of that. But folks, just a very brief recap on what I shared last week, overview, is that having a lot of knowledge is not wisdom. People think knowledge is wisdom. It's not, right? Having a whole lot of information. It's good that you got information. It's good that we have knowledge. But it doesn't mean that we are wise. And I also mentioned that wisdom can actually be seen in people who may not have a great education. Is that right? And I use the example of children, where through their experiences, they actually learn things. And sometimes they learn the hard way, and they have great wisdom as a result of that in certain areas of their lives. And the question then is, how do we obtain wisdom? James 1 verse 5 tells us, if anyone lacks wisdom, which I believe is all of us, at different times, folks, we all lack, we can all do with more wisdom. He says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. So basically what he's saying there, that if we require, you might find yourself in a situation that you're busy working at something, but you just can't solve the problem. God is saying, ask me, and I will respond to you. And we need to get into a habit of doing that. And also, I mentioned last week that desiring wisdom is a good goal to have, because it is scriptural. And we saw that in Proverbs 2, verses 2 to 4, that it is scriptural to desire wisdom. So, and again, we must not confuse wisdom with knowledge, but also with intelligence. How many of us do that? You come across somebody that is just super, super smart. And smart people are normally people that have the capacity or the ability to memorize a lot of stuff. Is that right?
Yeah.
And straight away, because we see how sharp their mind is, and it's wonderful to have a mind that is that sharp, but straight away, if we're not careful, we start to think that they would have wisdom as well. Not the case. Not the case. Many, many people that are super smart, right, super intelligent, are not wise. So I just want to read those verses again that I shared last week, and again, I'm going to read them out of the Message. Remember, the Message Bible is not a study Bible. Don't use it as your study Bible. In fact, a good study Bible would be probably the ESV, I would say, just through kind of research and checking out what the theologians and people that are spending a lot of time unpacking the word, and you know, which Bible should we use? The ESV is probably the most accurate, right? So it's a good one to grab hold of. But anyway, I'll be reading out of the Message, because it just gives us a bit of a story here about this very thing, wisdom. James 3 verse 13, it says, do you want to be counted wise, to build a reputation of wisdom? So there's two things there. No, nobody wants to be seen as not wise. Is that right? I mean, put up your hand if you don't want to be seen as wise. Huh? I think we all want to be seen as wise. But it's not just really a once-off. He says, and build a reputation of wisdom. A reputation of wisdom. And that is what we should have. In other words, when people see us, it's not, we're not wise because of a once-off. We're wise because we're continually wise. Ricky, why don't you close that door over there? Thanks. We're wise because we have a reputation of being wise. So he says, you know, if that's us, do you want to be counted wise to build a reputation for wisdom? He then says, here's what you do. Live well. Live wisely. Live humbly. Folks, live humbly, right? What is the opposite of humility? Yeah, I would say so. Pride and haughtiness. So if there's a lot of pride in your life and haughtiness in your life, well, there's an issue there and you need to address it. I need to address those things because it doesn't represent or demonstrate wisdom. Live humbly. It's the way you live, not the way you walk, that counts. The way you and I are living our lives, the way we conduct ourselves, the way over a period of time where people are continually looking at us, is that true? Especially unbelievers. Man, they have a different motive. They're waiting to see you fall. Is that true? They're waiting, man. And then, I told you so. Okay. But folks, it's the way you live, not the way you talk, that counts. And unfortunately, there, even with believers, there are many, many talkers. We need to demonstrate this thing of wisdom. And it's demonstrated in how you and I conduct ourselves and how we live out our lives. Mean-spirited ambition isn't wisdom. Boasting that you are wise isn't wisdom. Even believers, you know, boasting, well, I'm quite smart. Isn't wisdom. Twisting the truth to make yourselves sound wise isn't wisdom. It's the furthest thing from wisdom. It's animal cunning, devilish conniving. That's what he says. Whenever you're trying to look better than others or get the better of others, things fall apart and everyone ends up at each other's throats. Now he tells us the big one in terms of wisdom. Real wisdom, God's wisdom, begins with a holy life. Folks, the starting point is you and I making sure that we have a deep relationship with our Creator. Begins with a holy life. And then he says, and it's categorized by getting along with others. So once we are leading a holy life, one of the areas that we all have to work on is making sure that we get on with other people. And then he says about wisdom, it's gentle, it's reasonable, it's overflowing with mercy and blessings. Not hot one day and cold the next. In other words, us living, where we're demonstrating wisdom is not inconsistent. Don't be inconsistent. You know, let's just be who we are. Not hot one day and cold the next. Not two-faced. Verse 18. You can develop a healthy, robust community or family that lives right with God and enjoys its results. Now he says this one again. Only if you do the hard work of getting along with each other. Mentions it again. Getting on with people. This is wisdom. And he says it's not an easy thing. He says doing the hard work of getting on with each other. Then treating each other with dignity and honor. So I want to take, you know, a portion of this now and, you know, unpack it a little bit here this morning. So according to verse 13, our lifestyle, the way we live our lives, is a big indicator of the level of wisdom that we might have. Is that true? Right? And also, what's quite interesting here, James also tells us that there are two types of wisdom. You've got wisdom that actually comes from God. That's godly wisdom. And then you also have wisdom that comes from this world and this world system. Now, folks, we need to know that earthly wisdom, this wisdom from this world, okay, it's going to be in absolute opposition to godly wisdom. Haven't we seen that? You know, where we have godly wisdom and yet the world out there, you know, they kind of shake their heads at us and say, well, you know, that's really not the way to do it. They have, it's a different universe. So I'm saying just be mindful of that, because earthly wisdom opposes this godly wisdom. So let's continue now. And as I continue, let's take these, you know, I'm sharing this morning in a way that we will be able to measure ourselves in a way on whether we have wisdom or not. And if there are areas that we touch on here this morning that are a bit suspect, let's make a note of those, folks, and let's make the necessary adjustments in our own lives. Right. Excuse me. So then real wisdom, the next one is peaceable. Peace. In fact, let me just go back. It says in verse 17, but the wisdom from above is first of all pure. I touched on that last week. This needs to be in actual fact, living in purity is a decision that we make. Only Jesus was perfect. We know that. But it doesn't mean that we should not strive to become more and more like him. Is that right? So this thing of purity is important. And what does it mean? It means to be undefiled, and it actually means to be flawless. So I touched on that one last week. Let's go to the next one, this thing now of peaceable. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable. Now, folks, if you do not have Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you will never, ever, ever, ever experience true peace. You will never experience true peace. It's impossible. And the reason is that He, Jesus, is the Prince of Peace. So if you don't have the Prince of Peace, you will never experience true peace. And let me say that, you know, many people in the world, you know, they think that they're experiencing peace, but really it's a form of peace. It's not real peace, the peace that you and I can actually experience, you know, as well. So He brings the peace, and you can only have that peace, you know, if we have God in our lives, and it is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Romans 5, verse 1 says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, justified, what does Derek always say? It's justified, just as if I'd never sinned. As believers in Jesus, once we are justified. It says, once we have been justified by faith, he says, Romans says, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So once you get born again, you now have the opportunity. First of all, you have peace of God, knowing that you know where your eternity is ultimately, where you're destined to spend eternity. Is that right? In a real place called heaven. But folks, once we have established peace with God, we have to now do something. And that is to pursue peace with other people. I've been so mindful of this, you know, a while back, a few months ago, I was saying to myself, I'm not going to allow my peace to be stolen. Because, you know, we can allow our peace to be stolen. And we're all guilty of that. We can be, again, driving down the road and, you know, and already decided when that taxi cuts us off, I'm not going to get upset. But man, when it happens, what happens? What happens? Yeah, you get upset and it takes your peace away. So in actual fact, we have to make a decision to protect our peace. So you know, once we've established our peace with God, once we're born again, really we have to pursue this thing, pursue peace with fellow people on the planet. Okay. And if we want this peace and we want to walk in this peace, we're going to have to chase after it. Really. It's not going to just come. There's things we have to put in place. And peace, as I say, will not just come. It's not going to just come on its own. We need to be intentional if we want to walk in this peace, to avoid arguments. And how difficult is that? Huh? I just see a bunch of people smiling here. Yeah, I'm talking to you. Okay. It's so easy to get ourselves involved in arguments, but we have to make a decision to refuse to participate in that thing. Now, I don't know if this has ever happened to you. Have you ever had an argument with somebody that refuses to argue? Huh? Yeah, that is frustrating, eh? You can't rile them up. You can't get them wound up. And it's like they've just decided they're going to keep their peace. You don't. So, yeah, you can't have a full-on argument with somebody that refuses to participate in this thing, this argument that you want to have. Now, listen to James, what he says in verse 18. He says, and the fruit of righteousness. Remember that when you got born again, you became the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We are the righteous. Right? I said last week, we're not always as holy as we should be. But, our holiness might go up and down. But we are righteous. That is for sure. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. James 3 verse 18. And I want to challenge us, or I want to ask us this morning, are you a peacemaker? This is how we measure ourselves. Are you a peacemaker? And folks, this I need to say this, because this thing of peacemaking does not mean that you receive peace by abdication, because some people do. Abdicate. I'll give you an example of peace by abdication. Okay, like a couple. They have just celebrated their 50-year wedding anniversary. How's that? 50 years. And someone came up to the husband, and he actually went to the husband and he said, you know, what is the secret of your marital bliss? Okay? So the guy had an answer. He says, well, my wife and I had this agreement when we first got married. This is the agreement we had. When she was bothered and she was uptight and she was bent out of shape, okay, she would come to me and she would let me have it and she would vent and she would, tell me and she would get this thing off her chest. And if I was angry with her about something, I would just take a long walk. And then he says, I suppose that you could attribute our happy marriage to the fact I've largely led an outdoor life. That's not how we do it. Okay? That's not how we do it. So real wisdom is characterized by a desire to get on with people. So the question is, and we again, let's make this real to ourselves here. Do you get on with people? That's the one thing. Or do you find that you're not in conflict with people, but you are in conflict with people, certain people in your head? You know what I'm saying. Okay? When you're with that person, you tap over it and, it's not an issue. But man, what's raging on in your head, I'm saying, folks, that thing raging in your head needs to be addressed. Because that is a bit of, in a way, I suppose it's hypocrisy. And it's taken away your peace. There's no question about that. And it's not wisdom. Now, being so angry with somebody in your head, but you just kind of just keeping yourself together. The next thing. Verse 17, still James 3:17. But wisdom from above is first of all, what's it? Pure. Then it is peaceable. And then gentle. Gentle. Now, real wisdom is gentle. And that means, what does it really mean to be gentle? That means that we actually consider it. That means that we consider other people. And that we handle people in a way that we ourselves would like to be handled. Is that right? Okay. Selfishness. The thing of selfishness makes us, what's the word I'm looking for? Inconsiderate. Makes us inconsiderate towards other people. If we're always selfish. When it's all about me, Me. The world revolves around me. And James says that heavenly wisdom is considerate. So there again, we can measure ourselves. Are we considerate? And if not, let's make those adjustments. So if we consider other people, let me say, you know, that means that we are actually continually looking outwards and not inwards into our own, you know, where we are at, right? Inward looking. And it's difficult, you know, to think of other people and be considerate to them when we're just so focused on ourselves. And let me tell you something, just what I've seen, that this world and this world system is becoming more and more and more about me. It's all about me, right? How I look. I see these things. I mean, you look at, yeah, I can't believe people just want to take pictures of themselves all the time. Okay, I better not go there. I'm going to regret saying something just now. So, but folks, it's not just about me. Huh? It's not about me. It's about other people. It really is about other people. And as Christians, we are actually called to love other people. We're called to not only love them, but to care for one another. Is that true? So let's just not make it about me. And of course, that is real wisdom. The next one, again, James 3 verse 17. But wisdom from above is first of all, pure, peaceable, gentle, open to reason, it says. Real, what is open to, what does that mean? It means real wisdom is teachable. Teachable. And we can measure ourselves. Are you teachable? Okay. Are you willing to adjust? Are you willing to yield in a situation? Or are you one of these people, you know, it's my way, honey, it's my way or the highway? Huh? Folks, that's not wisdom. That's not wisdom. So we have to be willing to yield. And again, we ask ourselves a question, are we willing to yield? Because if we are willing to yield, let me say, we've embraced one of the important elements of real wisdom. Now, Proverbs, let me read Proverbs 12 verse 15. It says, a stubborn fool. Stubborn. What's the opposite of stubborn? We said early on, probably, yeah, and humble, and, you know, flexible. Am I right? Teachable, all of these things. But it says, a stubborn fool considers his own way the right one. But a person who listens to advice is wise. Now, where do you fit in there? Are you the person who listens to advice and you're the wise one? Or are you the stubborn fool that considers his way the right one? Folks, there are many people out there just zero flexibility at all when it comes to this. So wise people listen to advice, and real wisdom is always, always, always teachable. That's what he says right there. The next one, as we measure ourselves, verse 17. However, the wisdom comes from above is first of all pure, peaceable, gentle, obedient, and then filled with mercy. This is an interesting one. What does mercy mean? Are you one that is filled with mercy? So what he's saying here, that real wisdom is filled with mercy. Now James says that we must all be full of mercy. Is that true? In fact, Jesus said in Luke 6 verse 36, this is the words of Jesus. He says, be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. You know how merciful God has been when it comes to you and I? And God is saying to us, you also, I've been merciful to you. You must be merciful and show mercy towards other people. And what's interesting about this thing of mercy is not dependent on the person being guilty or innocent. Is that true? Think about that. It's got nothing to do with whether they're guilty or innocent, whether they're wrong or right, when it comes to showing mercy. So mercy really is a choice that we make. And when we make that choice in situations when we need to make that choice, it demonstrates wisdom. And again, it's something we can measure ourselves on. The next one, verse 17. But wisdom from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy. Next one is, and good fruits. And then the next, it says, impartial and sincere. Wisdom is impartial. It's sincere. So real wisdom does not, and I'm going to say it, real wisdom does not demonstrate hypocrisy. You can't be an absolute hypocrite, you know, in certain areas and reckon that you are demonstrating real wisdom, right? So real wisdom does not demonstrate hypocrisy. And also, it must not act as if it's, as if it is sincere, but deep down it's not sincere. You know, I'm acting, I'm sincere, but deep down, you know, it's not sincere. And of course, you know, if that's the case, then it's really an attitude of heart. And this is wisdom, folks. So true wisdom does not show any trace of hypocrisy. Okay, and there is no deception in it at all, in wisdom. We know where the deceiver, who the deceiver is. That's one of his biggest traits. Deception. Comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. And in all of those, he'll be deceiving wherever he can. And we don't want to replicate him in any form or any way. So wisdom does not pretend to be what it's not. Now it's quite interesting. Solomon. Who knows about Solomon? He's an interesting dude. Solomon. Remember, it was King David, and then after King David, Solomon became the king. And it was quite interesting because in the Bible we're told that God actually came to Solomon. He came to him in a dream, and he said to Solomon, you know, Solomon, I'll give you anything you want. What is it that you want? And now Solomon, he actually could have chosen. He could have chosen riches. He could have chosen power. He could have chosen prestige. He could have chosen victory over his enemies. He could have chosen a whole bunch of things. But Solomon's request, because he saw how incapable he really was of leading God's people. So Solomon's request is that he ask God for wisdom to be able to lead God's people. Now, at the heart of Solomon's spiritual, because this is a whole spiritual thing as well, of his spiritual power, he wrote this. And remember, it is Solomon that wrote most of the Proverbs. Right? Because he was so wise. And this is what wise Solomon wrote in Proverbs 1:7. He says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. He says, fools despise wisdom and instruction. Pity he didn't stick to it and apply it to his own life. Is that right? Because in his old age, folks, he ceased to fear God. And how did he do that? Right? He just gave up on this incredible wisdom that he had, because what he did, he married all these foreign women, and then eventually he was allowing them to build their own temples. And I was reading, funny enough, 2 days ago, one of these temples was actually built on the Mount of Olives. Yeah. And they would go and they would worship, you know, Dagon or whoever, whatever, all those false gods and so on. And he was participating in this idol worship. And God had warned him against that. So he's now no longer the wisest man. Right? Okay, he became probably the world's most knowledgeable fool. Very, got a lot of knowledge, but total disrespect for God, where you go out and he starts to worship idols. And so the question is, are you and I wise according to this world and this world system? Or are we wise according to God? In conclusion, let me read that verse again. What wisdom is. But the wisdom from above is first pure, we've looked at that, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. Let us ask God, folks, to help us that we walk in this wisdom. That we walk in it. And there's nothing stopping us. And he's made it so, how can I say, easy for us to understand exactly what it is. And really, I think, you know, as we've been through it, we need to take, because there are a lot of elements of wisdom. And we might, you know, have 60% of them good, you know, we do well. But what about the other 40%? Let's focus on those things and make the necessary adjustments in our own lives. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.